I'm gonna go to Venice and call it Long Beach. Dumbass. Salty, sorry. You can't, as shitty as this city is, you gotta do it right. You gotta call the crackheads where they are. Come on now. Poppy Street, let's go.
I was gonna say the crackheads are over down by Broke Dicks.
Oh, man. Oh, Lord. That's fucking way too true, mate. I've seen that shit. Go on the San Gabriel River Trail at like 3 in the morning and you'll see all the crabs. You're like, damn, y'all are like crabs. You'll come out of hiding. Jesus. The best is when it's low tide.
Cracking coyotes, man.
The best is when it's low tide and you see them like scrawling on the fucking riverbed and you're like, dog, damn. That's how you get your fucking shopping carts stuck in the mud. Because you just see random shopping carts there. I'm like, how the fuck that happened? Low tide. I'm like,
low tide.
It's real out there, man.
It's real out here, nigga.
I'm telling y'all street stories. Y'all don't think I'm playing. Go to the border, Long Beach and Seal Beach on fucking PCH, right at the underpass, and you'll see some weird people.
And, like, one out of two times.
Two times.
But, like, 50 out of 100 times, I've passed by Poor Richard's cop.
Oh, yeah. Poor Richard's cop. Dude. I don't even want to go to Poor Richard's, man. Hello, humans! Welcome to Audio Face, an irreverent podcast about music, news, and culture, and mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
And this is episode 110. We have three albums. We have Norman fucking Rockwell by Lana Del Rey.
I'm so scared.
We have Fear Inoculum by Tool, and Wallop by 3 exclamation points, or as I like to call them, Surprise Pikachu Face.
Yes.
I don't know how to say their name.
We're gonna go in. This is secretly a very electronic episode of Audio Face, as you'll find out soon. But actually, you'll find out super soon. Because I think the singles that we had were pretty...
Well, yes and no. We have Neil Francis singles, and we have B-Doo-Doo-Bop-B-B. However did you say her hipster ass name single as
Biba Doobie.
B-Doo-Doo... I can't. No.
Biba Doobie.
Just insert Mr. Krabs here.
Beep, boop, boop, bop, boop, boop, beep.
Yes.
Yes.
So Neil Francis is a... let's jump in it. So let's go with the singles that... These two, I forgot to put them in for last week's, but I wanted to put them in for this week's because they're good. And I thought Dan would enjoy them. So because Dan's been wanting newer EDM shit that doesn't suck, and we have some EDM shit that doesn't suck this week. And whenever Moon Boots comes out with that album, because I've been listening to singles.
That'll be next week, actually, yes.
No, that will be next week.
Along with IDK and Post Malone.
Post Malone was this week.
Post Malone is next week.
Is it next week?
Oh. Well, it depends what we're talking, but let's just say next episode.
Yeah, next episode, okay.
Yeah.
And then he's been wanting more hipster trash, and literally I have a playlist called Hipster Trash, and Beat to Bobby Beat is super hipster trashy. So,
yes.
But good hipster trash.
So yeah, let's get into it. So you recommended me both of these.
Yes.
Like, recommend is like put on the singles list for us to listen to. And I was really pleased by the Neil Francis. That's Neil Francis with an E at it. But Rewind and Shallow End are the two songs. And yeah, they're both like chill, like modernized progressive house.
Exactly.
Very good. Very like spot on.
Yeah, I don't know if he's releasing an album anytime soon, but he's had some really good tracks that have come out like late 2017, early 2018 that I've been following for a little bit. So hopefully he comes out with the album. I think we did review his album, or we did more like one of the ones where we did like a
might have been recommendations.
Like recommendations or did something like that. So I definitely talked about it before. But anyways, Rewind and Shallow End, they're fantastic. He's every new track I hear from him, he's progressing into his own little world. His production's getting a lot better. His sound's getting a lot better. It sounds much more refined because at first it would sound really experimental and kind of not dead, but broken in a bit, but in a good way. But now it's like he's starting to get his bearings
kind of musically.
And it's fantastic.
That you live for. Tell me, how do you operate out of the shallow
And then we have She Plays Bass by Biabodubi.
Biabodubi.
So how do you spell this? B-E-A-B-A-D-O-O-B-E-E.
Biabodubi.
You can't get any more hipster than that. Anyways, it's a chick out of England, naturally.
Yes.
And, shit.
It's very
hipster. This is a really good song.
Yeah.
It's a really good hipster song.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
It's definitely straight in like the hipster shit kind of world, what we talk about on Audio Phase. It's
like
very
Dive and Wallows, stuff like that, Beach House vibes.
Yeah.
But it's a solid song.
Rock,
I like it
but, you know, experimental.
It has like
really
the Mac DeMarco Telly sound, but in a faster way.
Yeah.
So it's something that if you like really indie underground hipster rock, then this is a track you'll really like. And I just discovered her a few months ago, and damn, she has good music.
I'm into it.
So out of the hipster world, because that I felt like the hipster world was lacking for a little bit. But if you look into it, there is a lot of good stuff. So
yeah.
She's one of them. Now I'm going to start putting more and more. You've already heard of Dive, obviously, which their album comes out next month. And yeah.
Please do.
So,
we're in September now. It's going to be great. We talked about IDK, dude. Moon Boots, Post
what
Malone.
Is this? What is this year?
We're back in the fall now. We've got Charlie XCX, JPEG Mafia, The Lumineers, Korn coming up later this month. M83, Tegan and Sarah, New Pornographers.
I keep forgetting.
There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff happening.
Has a quote unquote new album.
Yes. New project, let's say, if you will. New content for you.
Content.
So to make sure you stay up on top of that new content, make sure you're subscribed to Audio Phase so you don't miss any of the new episodes, especially if we upload them a day late like we did today. But let's go into news really fast before we talk about Lana Del Rey's new album.
There, speaking there is Ben Shapiro. Jesus.
Sorry, I have to get the whole, like, look down, but, like, look off like this.
No, you gotta look like this. You gotta look like this the entire time when you're doing it and scowl at your audience.
Yeah. I completely understand you entirely. None of you are really making any sense.
It's like band.exe stopped your Spanish for that.
Okay, let's talk about the MTV Awards.
Oh, and this dumpster fire of an award show. First off, ain't nobody talking while I'm talking, so shut the fuck up. If you give Panic at the Disco award for High Hopes, you need to go to an island in the South Pacific and jump off a rock when the Americans are coming and you're scared that they're going to kill you, but they're actually not going to kill you. The Japanese are going to kill you, and it's circa 1945. You need to jump off that rock and boom, hit the
rocks. I would say there's so many different, it's the part in the war where there are just like so many different missions going on at the same time. You don't exactly know who's going to kill you.
Exactly. I'll do it myself.
Escape the rocks as quickly as possible is, I think, the allowable terminology I'm given.
Escape the rocks.
Escape the rocks.
Oh, wow. That's another Let's Rock Yourself. You need to go to island and escape the rocks. I like that one a lot. You need to
escape, land, and hold your breath.
So,
okay.
You need to go scuba dive without a tank.
So, yeah, there are some ridiculous nominees, but the big thing here is that no one really bothered watching this, which has kind of been a trend. Each successive VMAs is the least watched VMAs, like, ever. And part of that's because people are just watching less TV, and of course, the MTV demographic is not going to be watching a ton of TV, but a lot of it's happening on the internet now, so the awards happen, and then we find out about it on Twitter, and then that's how it sort of spreads.
Pretty much,
so
yeah.
I would argue that Twitter's growth, not Twitter's growth, but like the VMA's growth on Twitter has probably gone up over the years, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's like seeing a plateau, like it's not going to go up anymore, like as far as popularity.
Yeah, no, definitely. Especially because it's something that I think awards, more and more people are getting over awards.
Yeah.
Like award shows and stuff, especially
not
VMAs.
Not just artists, but fans.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I meant about. But also artists as well. But fans especially, because they're like, it doesn't matter. Like, we like music. We like the music we like. It doesn't matter if someone says, this is good. It's very objective. in what it is.
That being said, since we do
an award. That being said, Panic at Disco can never deserve an award for High Hope, so that's the worst song made on Flat Earth 2018.
Yes. And I do hold it, since we do an award show that's going to be great. We
that's the only award show that matters.
And B, it is the... We try to be very clear and forthright with our music opinions, and so that hopefully builds a respect with our audience, that when we give something an award and we talk through that process very transparently, unlike these like closed door meetings, people can kind of understand where we're coming from. They can agree or disagree, but there's like a lot more of a level there. But there are a couple things that, of course, because this is the Irreverent Podcast about music, movies, and culture, that happened around it. So there were a bunch of protests outside of
the tennis.
Outside of the VMAs because of the lead crisis that's happening in Newark, New Jersey, which is where the VMAs are taking place. So the cops had to escalate the situation a little bit to make sure that Viacom's promotional event went smoothly. The one thing I will say that was kind of good that came out of it, Missy Elliott won an award for Video Vanguard Award, I believe. And a lot of it, what she said during her speech was that the music industry as a whole needs to respect backup dancers more. Because a lot of times they're just kind of seen as like a meat market sort of thing. It's like, oh, they're just dancing often.
Definitely. And it's something that I've heard of this because I know dancers. I was in that world for a while. Like people who are backup dancers for Beyonce and shit, other people wouldn't get paid enough or this and that. It's a cutthroat, shitty world that backup dancers aren't my thing per se, but I can respect the art and I can respect people who, you know, work their ass off in choreography, have to know everything by heart, have to rehearse constantly and get up on stage in front of thousands of people, but don't get really credit that they deserve for it, because they're enhancing the performance of, especially of if it's a singer songwriter, they usually dance along with the backup dancers and make it a whole thing. So it's something that I think people need to respect a little bit more. I'm on with her. I fucks with Missy Elliott heavy, so
yeah, we can agree with that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's kind of cool for her to say that. Oh, and she said y'all aren't not just props.
Yeah,
is her quote.
Which is good for someone who's like of a high stature and gets the attention that maybe the backup dancers don't usually get, for someone to say that and speak up and be vocal about it. It's a great idea. Lana Del Rey has released an album and it is called Norman Fucking Rockwell.
Yeah.
I had a whole existential crisis with like, what does the parental advisory explicit content tag that goes underneath music mean anything anymore? Because this album didn't get it. None of the songs are explicit, even though
the songs are explicit.
Yeah. Some of them aren't.
But the first five songs are all explicit.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry.
She literally talks about, you fuck me so good that I almost want to say I love you.
But like there's
no... Like verbatim.
But there's no like little parental advisory thing.
I know, exactly. But there'll be parental advisory with the 1975 on their album.
Yeah, and it's just really inconsistent, I noticed, but this is also not related to the album.
It was something I was wondering too. When do you put the tag on and why does it not work?
When you have a lead single called Fuck It, I Love You, probably is when you put the tag on. But it's 14 songs long, an hour and 7 minutes. This is the first Lana Del Rey album since Lust for Life in 2017, and it's also the first Lana Del Rey album since like her sort of awakening, if you will, where she started kind of seeing herself less as like empty sort of, I'm going to celebrate America and everything about it because it's great, and more going, oh, I guess women go through certain struggles.
I'm going to talk about other things and my love life and Taylor Swift.
Yeah. However, I will say that having listened to Taylor Swift's album last week,
this is and way wanted better. To drill my out. This is completely 1,000% better. Yeah. I can give Lana Del Rey respect as an artist. I don't really like her music. I think it's overrated. I don't like what she does with her vocals. It's just not my thing. But there are songs I do like. I do the opening track, Norman Fucking Rockwell, after the album, without an exclamation point, is actually a pretty good track.
Yeah.
I do and thoroughly enjoy it. The rest of the album was okay to me. It's her style. She's really airy. I don't like her lyrics. I never really have.
Yeah.
Ever since she did the song, My Pussy Tastes Like Pepsi Cola, ever since you say that, I'm like always on the fence with you. I'm quoting her. All right. That's in the song, not in this album, but in a few albums before. But she had in the lyrics, this one was, you fucked me so good that I almost want to say I love you. I'm like, hey, all right then. And
been there.
Then this girl. cover Sublime in Due in Time.
Yeah, I noticed that.
And in the music video, she does it. She's like a giant walking around, but it's LA, West LA, Venice, nothing in Long Beach.
No, I can totally see that because this is Lana Del Rey's aesthetic of being like extremely.
But the song, it's doing time.
Oh, for Sublime, yeah.
No, but the music video for the Sublime song, she doesn't put Long Beach at all. And when she says, repping the LBC, because it's the lyrics of the song, but she says repping the LBC as she walks by a Venice sign. Fucking stupid. You're fucking stupid. You can't, first off, Sublime is like in a holy grail of musical artists already. Because like...
Especially for people from this region. Yeah,
exactly. It's already like, they're already legends in their own right. Naturally.
Right, yes.
Because of the in the 90s, everything else, craziness has gone on in this city. But whatever. If you're going to rock the LBC, you've got to do it right. And she's like, I'm going to walk through West LA and Venice because that's my fucking aesthetic. Oh my God, I'm the Southern California girl. Bitch, go to Ramona Park at 2 a.m. and you'll see what the fuck Long Beach is about. We're red, too. And you will get fucked up.
This is my favorite. It kind of reminds me of their... During the whole like Popeye's chicken sandwich craze, there are a lot of racial tensions. Let's say, including this one newscaster, this one black newscaster, and this one white newscaster who are trying the Popeye's chicken sandwich for the first time. The white newscaster says, "Oh, this tastes amazing," and the black newscaster's like, "Yeah, does it taste like a neighborhood you've never been to before?"
Pretty much, exactly. But she threw a lot of Long Beach references in the album because I don't know who the album is about, but some previous lover doing the whole Taylor Swift shit of. Oh, I miss you, blah, blah, blah. She says, I miss going to Long Beach and seeing you and shit like
right,
that.
Right, yeah. There's...
Like, it's...
There's bits of it, but that's just kind of, like, where Lana Del Rey has decided to, like, circle the toilet bowl, if you will, or just, like, stay in these sort of tropes.
But anyways, that pissed me off, because I'm like, oh, I heard the song, I'm like, this is Sublime, but okay, all right. And then I heard there was a music video with them, like, oh, let me see this music video. I'm like, where's the fucking city?
Yes.
That's what the song is about, asshole.
And especially when we're talking about, hey, this is the new Lana Del Rey. I want to try to kind of branch out and show that I'm not just, like, I'm not just giving one filtered version of America. And by filtered, I mean extremely whitewashed. I want to give, like, the full sort of view of it and kind of apologize for my mistaken white feminism, if you will. And that's not the way to do it at all. But if we get truly to the music, because it's very clear we're not really fans of Lana Del Rey or her style...
It's fine.
It's passable, fine, like folksy, neo-folksy, like airy music. Yeah,
but the lyrics after a while, it drones on. I hate lovey-dovey shit where it just keeps going on and on and on and on. Because then after a while, you're beating a dead horse where it's like, hey, chill. It's like when you kill that guy in a video game, say Battlefield, who likes been sniping you all day, and you should unload an MG42 and it overheats so much that you gotta switch out the barrel.
Hypothetically.
And you just gotta switch out the barrel because it's overheating and you're like, ow, 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 that's hot. That's what this album is. It's like, we get it. Chill.
Except the bullets are love.
Exactly. But chill. I do like love songs. I've been over this because there are some songs this year. I'm like, damn, that goes deep.
Yeah.
But mix it in with some other shit. Put him some crack in things.
Sprinkle some crack on it.
Sprinkle some crack. Do the Reagan. Just like, some crack here, some crack there. Let's go about.
My final thoughts with this album is that it started off...
Here are my final thoughts.
Hi, it's Tommy Lauren, and here are my final thoughts. I should stop before I end up with death threats. So my favorite part of this... The highlight of this album for me is just like the first... I mean, 5 or 6 songs.
Yeah.
I think it goes really well through that. And then it just kind of goes back into usual Lana Del Rey fare, which her fans, of which there are many,
They love this shit. I know that for sure. If you're a stan of Lana Del Rey, you're going to like it.
Yeah, you're gonna say this is like one of her better Lana Del Rey records that come out.
And I can actually agree with you on that. Yeah. Because I think this is her most complete work. It has a theme, it sticks to it a little too much, but the production's good, her voice is good, it branches out a little bit in her experimentation, I guess, but doing time's really whack.
Yeah. My favorite from that beginning was Mariner's Apartment Complex. With you on these beaches, your Venice bitch, your diehard, your weakness. Maybe I could save you from your sins. So kiss the sky and whisper to Jesus. My, you found this, you need this. Take a deep breath, baby, let me in. Your way, just take my hand. You're lost at sea, then I'll command your boat. And I will say that it's cool that Venice Bitch is like this whole like 10-minute yeah. long thing to put together. Definitely, I won't hazard so far as to say experimental, but she's trying something a little bit different there with that and creating like a full out-fledged song. Yeah. And we'll give it to her. That's kind of cool. It went okay. Just like, there's more to Los Angeles than Venice.
Venice fucking sucks.
Venice is, it doesn't suck as bad as Hollywood sucks. But like,
no, Hollywood needs to get erased. Venice just sucks.
Hollywood needs to get Thanos.
Exactly. Just.
Okay, so arbitrary scale. Oh, Amazon yeah, fires. You could either choose the device from Amazon, or we could go by acreage. I think in either case, the more the worse.
I'm gonna make something up here.
I'm gonna say this is like 50 slash and burned acres in the Amazon.
This is Bezos' non-existent hair on fire when his wife, and he realized he didn't put a prenup when he got divorced, and his hair is not on fire, but like all the little tiny follicles of his chrome dome were on fire, but they weren't. That's what the rating I'm giving it. I loopholed you, bitch.
Oh, wow. That, folks, you'll love to see it.
So, fucking, you guys need to listen to Audio Face more.
America needs to listen to Audio Face really bad, because as we told you, we told you that we listened to Taylor Swift's new album, so you didn't have to.
And we told you we listened to Young Thug, so you didn't have to.
Yes, but somehow you still listen to it. Buy is an interesting word and phrase of music in 2019.
You want some music? Y'all got any of those music?
Got... Gotta get some of that music. But there's, it's streaming, so it doesn't exactly work that way. But So Much Fun topped Billboard 200 number one for the first time Young Thug's gotten a number one.
He does not deserve it.
Not at all.
The album is... Every single song sounds alike. They don't change the fucking beat. Migos put a song that's like, oh, this just changed it up. But it's the same shit.
The beginning song, I've heard like the beginning intro for the Young Thug album, and it's just like, ooh. Da, 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 ooh. Like, it's so really kind of annoying. And then Taylor Swift's Lover, this had the biggest album release in 1 week.
I can see that because of how popular of an artist she is. People want it, like, they've been wanting this album for a minute, so.
I don't know why.
Well, remember, people do not have good tastes in music.
Broadly speaking.
Broadly speaking. It's usually really dumbed down for the masses. And this is not me trying to be like some elitist asshole. This is just how it is. Because not many people...
I mean, it's how entertainment broadly is. The reason why reality much. TV is popular.
Exactly. It's the reason why car chases on TV are popular. I kind of like watching that shit sometimes because I want to see if he's going to die or get shot. Because I like watching stupid shit like that.
You can usually tell based on the neighborhood that happens in whether they're going to die or get shot.
That's extreme true. I remember I drove by a car chase. I went home and I popped on TV. I'm like, what is still going on? Oh, man, he got more bullet holes in his windshield. Damn. Last time I just saw a chair stick through. It's like Ron Artest back in the day. Never forget.
Basically, the 110 is just the Huntington Park Raceway.
Don't go on 110. Avoid it at all costs.
No, just take all the exits at the 110-105 interchange. It's a raceway.
What's this?
New Mario Kart
shit,
map
here we
incoming.
Go again.
New Mario Kart map incoming. Okay, so back in kind of serious news, Pusha T is launching a criminal reform campaign called Third Strike Coming Home. So for those of y'all new heads, the three strikes law basically says that if you're like a violent felony, your third criminal conviction means you are mandatorily not even dead, at least in most states, but
I thought
life in prison.
You're minimum life in prison. Correct?
Minimum life in prison. They can't give you anything below life in prison.
It's either just like life in prison or death.
Yeah,
that's it. You got two choices. I'll take blue pill, please.
Yeah. And if you're wondering what kind of tyrannical, conservative, sort of like psychopath who could possibly put this law into effect. It's a Republican from Arkansas, Bill Clinton.
It's the one, the only. I did not get my dick sucked by that woman. My hand was not on the titty.
So
it was the Mr. Neoliberal himself. Bill Clintonist.
So, there's a really horrible thing I just have to say now. So apparently back when, and this is going to get really funny. So Hillary Clinton's interns and Bill Clinton's interns, they called themselves Clinterns. I'm just gonna let that sit there. I'm gonna let it marinate for a little bit while we talk about
this. Hey, what do you do with the other Clinterns? That sounds like some Pod Save America dating app, like heathen shit. Hey, you put in your profile, I'm a Clintern. If you do that, just...
To Pusha T.
Back to Pusha T. Exactly.
Let's talk about Pusha T. So, because of the work of Clinton and the Clinterns and all this stuff, Pusha T is now trying to put his money where his mouth is. And starting a foundation so that, you can provide legal support to people who are fighting these cases where they got three strikes. So, like, usually...
That's it makes sense for extremely rough areas, say Baltimore or Detroit. Something where...
Inner cities.
Inner cities where it's pretty much a way of life of drugs and shit, because the war on drugs is still going on, and it shouldn't be, because it obviously hasn't worked if it's been going on for fucking 50 years. Something where you could kind of easily get three strikes.
Yeah.
In a way, but it's interesting.
And it's also like your first and your second strike could have been like misdemeanor drug offenses. And then your third strike like is particularly
they're nonviolent too.
Oh wow. No, it doesn't have to be three nonviolent offenses in a row. It's just like three offenses, if one of them is like violent or remember, it's not like we're talking about all these people are murderers. It's maybe
right.
A lot of these people were in the wrong place at the wrong time and fit the description of the murderers because all the descriptions are
black male 5'9".
Yeah,
black wearing Tims.
Especially on the East Coast of Baltimore.
Exactly. Wearing Tims and a puffy jacket.
Yeah, there's a song that Pusha T released called Coming Home and a bunch more like stuff that's related to it that will be sort of there and cool, and I'm happy that Pusha T, when he's not busy outing Drake's family, is...
Never forget, Drake has a kid.
Drake has a kid, y'all.
Pusha T has fucking no chill. Okay, so, Fear Inoculum is an album by Tool. 10 songs on, 1:26.
Which very makes fucking, sense if you know Tool.
If you know Tool, it makes fucking sense.
If you listen to any other audio, like, Audio Face review, where we speak out the specs, we're like, okay, 10 songs long, you're talking about like a 40, 45-minuter?
Taps.
Yeah, 1:30.
They are metal cigaros, as I like to call them.
Yeah, kind of.
Because they make 11, 12-minute songs, but... It's metal, but not metal.
Yeah,
it's hard rock.
It's hard rock
because it can get that slippery borderline of, but it's not too hardcore heavy.
Yeah,
the lyrics aren't crazy.
It's not crazy. It's not screaming. It's not necessarily loud. It's just like a lot of instruments happening at once over these like large sort of orchestrally designed pieces.
Yeah, which I like and I don't like this album. The first song I did not like because it was instrumental and it just literally dragged on. I was like, holy shit, when is this thing going to end? The second song I did like, Pneumonia. I would say Pneuma.
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 P-N-E-U-M-A.
Yeah. It's like Pneumonia, where it's like Pneumonia.
Panera Bread.
Neighborhood coming to you. So that song was good. It had more lyrics to it, but the lyrics are kind of airy and distant with plus instrumentation. This album was kind of schizophrenic because it would have 11-minute song, 2-minute, 12-minute, 2-minute, 3-minute. But the 2-minute, 3 minutes were almost like Tree Fingers on Kid A Radiohead, where it's just literally just soundscapes.
Right.
Which actually, I love shit like that because it's really weird, random, and you very rarely hear it from a big name artist. And I think what they were doing on a lot of those was pretty similar to Tree Fingers, where it's just guitar sounds, but they're guitar sounds that are heavily manipulated by and other things, like kind of what Sigur Rós do, where they either bow them or they have really long delays, stuff where it makes it sound out there, kind of like you're almost floating in space. So like, Le Tain, I don't know how to say that shit because it's in French, and fuck that language because it doesn't make sense.
Where are we at? Oh.
Three.
Le Tain contre le Pur.
Yeah, Champs-Élysées. that song, it had that airiness to it.
Yeah, where and it's like, it's sandwiched in between us two 12-minute songs.
Exactly. And I like the little breaks in between of those songs because it needs, that album needs it, or else it's literally going to feel like an hour and a half of, are your hands broken yet from how much you're strumming?
Yeah, kind of.
But I mean, that's what Tool do.
Yeah, Tool, like,
that's their style.
If anything, the only thing that's changed from their start, one of the bigger things that's changed from Tool style from like when they started back in the 90s, I believe, now, is sort of that maybe in the 90s they were a harder rock and more grunge and louder,
definitely.
And now they've moved to using that same format but kind of dialing it back a little bit. I'm not even sure if it's a stylistic choice, but I felt like it was a nice homage. This is Tool's first album in 13 years, so...
Holy shit, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, so it's been a minute.
Kind of like a slow dive, randomly put an album out 20 years later.
Yeah.
I do enjoy it. Tool's never been a thing for me, because if I'm going to listen to long tracks like that, it'll be usually Sigur Rós, because it's something that I can enjoy. But for fans of Tool, they'll like it. I love the experimentation of the shorter songs in between their longer ballads, but
yeah,
this is a solid... Let's just give this, you just get a solid Kindle, but it's like the like third generation Kindle, where it doesn't explode every 10 seconds and doesn't give you headaches when you read.
The Kindle e-reader or the tablet?
The e-reader.
Okay, yeah.
E-reader. No, not the tablet. Fuck that shit. I don't trust that shit. It's going to make you accidentally buy more things.
Literally, Amazon was the first company to go, can we get away with putting advertisements on a tablet that people buy from us? Absolutely.
Absolutely. And that's a dumpster. That's a dumpster fire.
Yeah.
So it counts as a fire.
I love destroying the Amazon personally. Both Amazons, really. And so I'm gonna go with the. I'm gonna say this is Bolsonaro with a boring This is Bolsonaro with a boring company flamethrower. Just like going ham somewhere in the middle.
Bolsonaro.
Bolsonaro. But no, I largely like this album. It's again, I'm kind of with Sean here. It's not exactly my kind of thing. This like hard rock area isn't my world, but like of what it is, Tool's one of the ones I like a little bit more. And if you're a Tool fan, it will offer a little bit of something for you there, but their like hard rock days are long gone.
Can Jay-Z get Sellout of the Year award? Is that
out Noted Little Bitch and call it the Sellout Award, then we can do some gerrymandering here if you want.
That's what I'm calling it's called the Coldplay Sellout Award. The Chris Martin Sellout Award. The Sellout Award brought to you by Chris Martin.
No.
Featuring Coldplay.
And Verizon.
Verizon.
Brought to you by the Sprint
guy. Exact. Thank you. Brought to you by the Sprint. Shit, he's the biggest sellout ever. Chris Martin's a close second, but that guy is down.
Okay, yes. But anyways,
because
Jay-Z and the NFL have launched...
And a fucking apparel line. The Jigga Man is literally just trying to earn money at this point with the NFL. And, it's bad.
Yeah, it's not, like, clear necessarily, like, what the apparel line will do, but apparently Roc Nation and the NFL say that the revenue from the Inspire Change apparel that the Jigga Man is now starting to put forth, and the NFL is probably going to put forth with him, will fund Inspire Change programs across the United States with a focus on, quote, economic empowerment, police, community relations, and criminal justice reform.
Sure.
So you're buying overpriced National Football League shirts so that they go to a new organization that'll then do all these things. Or you could, let's remove one middleman out of that process. Let's sell the shirts and then move those shirts to organizations that already exist that are doing those things. Or better yet, you don't work with the NFL.
Or better work, yeah, exactly. And they're, man, it's bad. Jesus.
Like just think of all the racist shit that's happened as a result of, like, the NFL and, like, Trump saying, get that son of a bitch off the field and all that stuff. And Jay-Z's like, yep, love me some money, dawg.
Yeah. Just want me to get some money, and you can't drink no La Cristal.
Yeah, remember, oh my god, man. This is Jay-Z, who used to be upset about the maker of Cristal using the N-word.
Exactly.
And now he's working for the NFL. But like, I mean, like, how do we do this?
You mean, you know who, it's like Kanye saying, Trump, saying Bush doesn't care about black people, to now blowing the Oval Office with Trump. Yeah, money fucking talks, people. Just follow the money, and you don't know what's gonna show. I'm telling you this.
It's about the money, because Jay-Z and Kanye West are not progressives. That's my jank impression. Okay.
No, we gotta say, of course. And never mind. I'm not gonna get you fired.
Meek Mill is finally off of probation.
Free Meek Mill! Actually, don't forget.
After 12 years of battling the courts, the rapper's 2008 gun conviction was finally thrown out. It's been a minute. It's been maybe a long minute for felony gun conviction. And we were just talking about people who were wrongfully convicted in the criminal justice system who are facing things like the three strikes law.
Yep.
These are people who like really need our attention, not a ratchet multimillionaire with a lot of money who keeps fucking up and expecting the public to come to the courthouse with him.
Yep.
Like he's fucking R. Kelly, but for the law. Never mind. Free Meek Mill. Whatever.
Whatever. He's freed, so y'all can shut up now.
Yeah. Go buy his music. Let's
talk about surprise Pikachu face.
Yeah. Three exclamation marks. Chick chick chick. So the thing this goes around is that they have the band is like stylized as three exclamation marks. If you try to Google it, you actually break Google because you can't actually search by exclamation points in Google. So it'll just like say no search results, dude. Sorry.
No. So that's the thing.
Excellent search engine optimization, there, friends.
God damn it!
So they say that you can basically say their name using any monosyllabic like phrase and just like repeat it multiple times. But so they
any monosyllabic phrase that I can repeat.
Like ping, ping, ping would also be the way to say their name, according to the band member. But apparently they all go by like chuk chuk chuk. So whatever. They released an album and it's called Wallop. It's 14 songs long, 45 minutes long, and it's probably my favorite thing that's been released all year.
Holy fucking shit, this is like contender for album of the year. Fuck me in the ass right now. This is literally.
This is so good.
This is new wave with. Because you already know, new wave is like my shit. The 80s. 80s new wave is. I love it with a burning passion. This is the new wave. You know how you have the new deal? This is the new wave. I think we're just starting it.
I hope it's not like the new deal, where it's this like watered down version of the original promoted by the Democratic National Committee to maintain the
No. It's not the DNC one. It's not the Debbie Wasserman Schultz. It's not that bullshit one. No, this is like the hardcore goes in like guns ablazing, not giving a fuck.
This is the deep state alpha brain.
Exactly. They took the new alpha age. Brain before they chugged a 5-hour energy. Anyways, you got them supplements?
Yeah, Where do I start? So I've
Let It Change You, it didn't get me into the album, Let It Change You, the opening track. It was good, like a solid track, but it didn't swoop me in. Couldn't have known the second track.
Yeah.
So you just dive in that track and you're like, oh, I'm in for a fucking treat today.
Yes.
It literally just, every song after that keeps one-upping itself. It keeps getting better, 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 until my favorite song of the entire album, which is You're Paranoid.
Really?
Which is just straight schizophrenic house. And I love it because it's literally about you're being paranoid. No, you're being paranoid, and just like keeps upping the beat back and forth.
Yeah,
but it's a unique beat in a way, and it sounds like underground house, what I grew up with. And I go, oh, I live.
It's like Nirvana listening to some of. Like, truly.
There is, you talk, because I need to check which ones are which for me. Well, yeah. We're on headphones.
Oh, so, like, what I want to, like, what Chuk 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 is known for is, like, dance punk or, like, dance pop. So, like, it's guitar influence and focus here and there, but with a lot of these, you know, like, punk motifs, but set down to a dance beat. And that's really kind of what you get with all of this, is that these are very danceable tracks, but there's a lot of rock influence in it.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's super fresh, it's super new, and it doesn't even always stay rock. A lot of songs definitely veer more into, like, the modern, let's say, quote-unquote, synthesizer thing. I think my favorite
My thoughts are really good, too.
No, I was gonna say, my favorite part of the album is Off the Grid down to My Fault. Because, like...
I mean, slow motion goes hard, too.
It does. I'm not saying, like, the album ends there. If anything, for me, it ends, like, its tear with Rhythm of the Gravity. I felt like it was doing, like, this really good vibe then, and then Rhythm of the Gravity just starts off so kind of intense and doesn't have that build-up that I feel like it just went into it too much, and that's the song I liked the least, and it's one of those situations where the song I like the least will kick the ass of pretty much every other song that comes out this year.
Like, seriously, this is...
But like Serbia Dreams is, I actually thought you would like Serbia Dreams the most, because
I know it's one of my favorite.
It sounds like 1975-y with the way they like harmonize all the stuff in the middle, not even the middle, but like with the whole instrumentation. It's very like upbeat, but no, also lyrically. There, kind
it's
of
my say. It's
back. Every single song. Live through every stupid argument about being legit. About being legit. About being legit. If you would have told me how things are, would have thought that we have won. If you would have told me how things are, I wonder how it happened. Looking at that night from Dolores Park, we could think it all turned out to be like we plotted a team. Why does it feel empty anyway?
Because the way Serbia Drums has those 80s chimes, as I like to call it, which I haven't heard since the fucking 80s music, and I heard it, I'm like, what is this shit? You're paranoid because it's just the house, but Serbia Drums is my second favorite, because literally from, couldn't have known you're paranoid, I was just, every track was like, yes, go, like, pump into my veins right now, I gotta tighten up my belt, like, tap the shit, let's go, let's go.
Shit.
Ooh, that's that yellow cap shit, that's the good stuff. This album is amazing.
It's very hard for me to pick one of my favorite, like, my favorites off of this album, but I think it's My Fault, just because of, like, what it does for the album.
Mm-hmm.
It's a poppy, but also, like, it does one of my favorite things with bass synthesizers, especially now that I'm starting to, like, dabble with creating music myself. Mm-hmm. It's, like, creating this, like, warbly kind of super low-frequency noise as the bass pattern. And contrasting Serbia Dreams, which is, like, this big, almost poppy summer, like, hit. It, like, almost sucks all of the energy out of that.
And
reproduces
like
that energy in the same way, but a different vibe.
Yeah, it's like groove house. And you know what they also, Surprise Pikachu Face reminds me of? Is Junior Boys.
Yes!
Super fucking Junior
they
Boys.
They did it
heavy.
Like a, this is their most Junior Boys sounding which album. Is, I kind of, this album,
I wish Junior
like
Boys
another,
would get more traction than they have, but to me this is, if you like them, go check out Junior Boys, because they've been doing it for ever. But this sound, it reminds me of a little more upbeat version of Junior Boys.
Which is
Junior
exactly
Boys goes,
my shit.
Which Junior Boys goes a little more lo-fi, but still, like, their tracks are fucking fire. But this is,
Yeah, this
it's
is
good. This is very, very good.
This is in the realm of Hercules and Love Affair's album Amion, I believe.
Okay.
That was like similar, like it reminded me of Junior Boys. And like Junior Boys is like Gorillaz for me in a sense of like this is where all the like really good electronic music can kind of that exists today
can
kind
to.
Of draw that back to.
Yeah.
Like it's all like these people were inspired by Junior Boys, may or they know it or not, and now they're creating stuff that's like significant.
Or even it's like how R&B or electronic R&B is all, and a lot of them influenced by Jai Paul.
Yeah.
Because it's something
like the building
where,
blocks are in there, like,
older exactly.
Work. Yeah.
So.
God, I would love to spend the entire podcast talking about this album. I really could, but this was the last one. Oh, Domino's such a killer song.
Domino's
good. It's really good.
Just listen to the fucking album.
Just listen
three exclamation
listen to the whole album, like, seven times. This is, Like, honestly, all of South America's on fire right now. This is a... Actually, no, I said more fires is worse.
Yeah, this is... Bolsonaro gets kicked out. Free Lula comes out of fucking, forced imprisonment, becomes president, and undoes all the fires, and then starts pissing on America, because why not?
If you can hear that sound in the distance, it's Michael Brooks unzipping his pants.
Bolsonaro! What do you think of the Brazilian president Bolsonaro? I think he's good. He's doing some anti-communist stuff. He's also really against the gays.
He's against the cultural Marxists?
Yeah, the cultural Marxists.
Quick hits. Let's go. Killer Mike did a video with Bernie, like a campaign video, where they're talking about...
Killer Mike goes fucking hard, man.
Bernie goes fucking hard, man.
No shit. He goes hard. There are some things I'm like, you need to go a little more hard, but, I mean, he went off on Kashmir the other day, and I was like, he's the only dude, I think he's still the only candidate who's talking about Kashmir. He's like, dude, India is literally saying, yeah, I can't have technology no more.
Yeah. Like, it's...
Not too many people know about it, either.
Because no one wants to talk about it, because no one feels like it's politically a zinger as Pete Buttigieg sitting in a coffee shop talking about his plans and ideas. But anyways, exactly. Bernie's done a couple of these videos recently with musicians. He did one with Cardi B recently. And the way it's done is, like, the Cardi B or Killer Mike, they sort of, like, lead the questions and, like, lead kind of where the conversation's going. And Bernie fills in kind of with his policy platforms and ideas and things like that. This time they talk about, which is something I really like and wish got more attention in public schools, which was the fact that Martin Luther King in the later part of his life before he got assassinated was less about like civil rights for black people and more about like social rights for workers, especially workers of color. But of course, like, that would mean white workers as well.
Blue collar, just in general.
The poor people's
poor
campaign.
Yeah, exactly. And he was doing that. And then he got assassinated.
Like, literally, he was doing poor people. Yeah. He was doing planning for the poor people's campaign the weekend he got assassinated.
Exactly. Because, you know, if you start stealing rich people's money, they come stepping. Travis Scott has a Netflix documentary called Look Mom, I Can Fly!
I mean, at this point, everyone's going to have a Netflix documentary. They just have so much money. If you live in Los Angeles, like, it'll be like the Alaska Permanent Fund, except by living in Los Angeles, you just get a Netflix documentary or a comedy special.
Instead of getting the oil money, you get Netflix money.
You get content money.
He's so super overrated. I think Astroworld is dog shit. But whatever. I guess it's cool. It goes over his birth of his daughter and Astroworld and other shit. So
the controversy over his decision to play the Super Bowl halftime show, like sell out Jay-Z, all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
And lastly, because we like to end Audio Face on an interesting note, Trent Reznor accidentally got himself a Country Music Award nomination. Because of the fact that Nine Inch Nails 34 Ghosts 4, which is like a random like little demo that Nine Inch Nails did, was then reproduced by Young Keo and then made into a song that was sold on the internet that was bought for $29 by one Lil Nas X and then became Old Town Road. So, by like three ways removed, Trent Reznor and Nine Inch Nails are kind of like also producers on this song.
They actually get royalties from it then. Because that's actually their beat, which is...
It is.
The fucking irony. I love shit like that because I like when artists talk about it. Because some artists will be like, hey, this is something that I didn't really take, but I got ideas from it, but I made it my own.
Yeah.
So there's stuff where you have... I mean, that's just on like Daft Punk, for example.
Yeah.
They take random shit they find...
And they got in trouble for it. A lot.
Yeah, they super got in trouble for
Robot
it.
Rock. Well, like, the original creators of, like, Robot Rock were really pissed.
They were pissed, but they make it their own, so then it's almost unrecognizable, but sometimes it's pretty recognizable. Yeah. But for, like Crescendalis, where it's, like, completely done up. I like it when artists open up about it, but then it's funny because you can track and a lot, 90% of music, modern-day music, is derived from someone's original thing.
Yeah, because we've just, like, not only has such a long history, and music is actually sort of, like, really confined as far as, like, what you can get away with on a keyboard, a lot of things have been made, and now there's the same confines sort of exist in a way, except now everyone can make music.
Exactly. It's super to the masses, but now that's why I like experimentation so much.
That's sort of like why rap music, because they're kind of like, yeah, everything is going to be reproductive, so we are going to literally sample things and then turn it into like our own beats. Like, it's just like a more transparent like version of that, but not necessarily more. It's just really interesting. It's the more you know about the music world, which is what you get from listening to
this. And this is Audio Face 110. Thanks for listening. This was an interesting one. We had lots of good shit. Next week we have
IDK.
Moon Boots, IDK, and...
Most Pallone.
Oh, that's right. Posty. Post Malone, Barbed Wire Tattoo Face Man, who's got Dallas Cowboys money. Speaking of NFL. So go listen to that. We will go hard or not go hard. Oh, there's Drone Bomba, my personal favorite. And so you can follow us on the social medias if you would like to. You can follow me, if I trust you, at SW Suarez on everything.
Twitter and Instagram.
Everything. Just...
Easy. TikTok, Twitch,
Hulu. Twitch, except I'm never fucking on Twitch.
Twitch.tv/Ben.
Pretty much, that's where you can find me.
I can be found.
Oh, okay, never mind.
No, go ahead.
Alright, let's see if I can do this. So, on Twitter, at Dan from the Royal, on Instagram, at Dan from the Internet, because he can't do that. And also, my job did that too with FGF247. It's funny, Carl's talking about that today, and I'm like, oh, that's like so stupid Dan's tag of Dan from the Internet. He still can't get it from Twitter. It's like, this guy doesn't even post it, and I try been trying to like block him or like report him shit, and Instagram's like, nah. I'm like, well, that's what happens when you let tech geniuses rule the world. Fucking Homer.
Yeah, basically, you're not going to get verified on Instagram unless you sell nudes. So, like, that's just how Instagram works now. Thank you for listening and watching, and we will talk to you next week. Bye.